We're holding on Lamedches, Amud Beis, second line from the bottom. The Mishnah had told us two cases, one of a Shemeres Yavam that inherited Nechosim, and we said this Shammai and this Hillel both agree that they're completely under her control and she can sell or give them away as she pleases. Then we said, what happens if she dies? What do we do with her Ksuba? And what do we do with the Nechosim and Nechnosim, the Yotin Ima, the property that goes in and out of the marriage with her, namely the Nechsim Malug? Then we add a Machlokas Veshama Veshillel, what we do with them. Veshama says that her husband's heirs, meaning the Yavam, and her father's heirs split it because it's suffix whether she's considered married to the Yavam or not. Basil said in the Chosin, the Chaskosin, Basil said that everything remains in the Chazaka of whom it is now. The Ksuba started out with the husband, therefore it goes in the Chazaka of them, and the Nichsimalug are the Chazkas Yosheha. So now, we asked in the Gemara, we started the discussion yesterday, why is there the difference between the beginning and the end of the Mishnah? Why in the beginning is the Shammai and Basil saying both? That's completely under her control and she can do with it whatever she wants. And then we're saying that when she dies, then there's a question of who owns it. If we said, in other words, that it was in her control to begin with, then we should say it goes to her Yoshin. And that would be, namely, her father's family. So far we had Ulla saying that there's a difference between when she was Nafla Yibum, was she an Arusa or was she a Nesua? So in the Reisha, we're talking about that she was only an Arusa, and therefore now she's only a Safek Arusa. Therefore, she has more control over the property. And in the second part of the Mishnah, when she died, we're talking about that she was Nesua to her first husband, and now as a Yavama under Zika, there's a Safek Nesuin. Rabba said that no, we're talking about there's a difference of whether she's alive or dead. When she's alive, then she's the Vadai. When she's dead, then, good morning, Aaron. When she's dead, then we say that, they're both coming to Yashin, so therefore neither one has a greater Chazaka than the other. So now we're gonna have a third answer. Abaya Omar. Reisha did not lakshi shemeras yavam. The Reisha, which said that both the Shammai and the Hillel agree that she can do whatever she wants with the property that she owns, that she inherited, is talking about did not lakshi shemeras yavam. It's talking about where that property fell to her when she was a shemeras yavam. So in other words, she had been married to Reuven. Reuven died. Now, while she's waiting for Shimon to do Yibum Mechalitza with her, her father or whatever, one of her relatives from whom she inherits, dies, and she inherited property. Sefer denafel lakshi tachta, whereas the Sefer was talking about when the property fell to her, when she inherited or gained that property, when she's married to her first husband. Now, because Sava Abaya, Yoda Ki Yoda, now Abaya holds that when we say that when she's married, his hand, his ownership of the property is like hers, but no stronger than hers. So therefore, Abaya would say, in a regular case of marriage, which we'll learn about in Masechta Ksuba, Spes Hashem, then we'll say they have equal strength in the property. Now, when we're talking about where there's only Zika, then Abaya would say he's weaker than her, and therefore, so when the property fell to her as a Shemeres Yavam, then his control over it is weak enough that we say that he can do whatever she wants with it, and both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel would agree to that. In fact, Rashi explains that in Ksuvos there's the same machlokas between the Shammai and the Hillel, where the Shammai also over there says that not that there's the same machlokas, but the Shammai would say, in other words, that when she's married, then when she's married, then sure he has the stronger hand, but when her first husband dies, and now we're only talking about a Yavam, then they have the same rights over it, and therefore that. And so Abaya says that means that so Beis Shammai will say they have the same rights, and therefore that's and therefore Yachloiku, that's why they divide it. that's when she dies, rather. So later on, when she dies, then the Shama is going to say Yachloiku. As long as she's alive, though, she has the stronger hand, and she can do what she wants with it. Amalei Rava. But Rava says to Abaya, Eden nafti lachshi tacht of the Baal. What are you talking about? So you're saying that in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we're talking about dividing it. You're talking about that it fell to her when she's still married to her first husband. Well, if that's the case, the kol amalei pligi, the yada adifa miyada. Wouldn't everybody agree that he has the stronger hand? So how could Beis Hillel be saying that the nechas and the nichsim alug go back to her father's house? Shouldn't they say that his hand is stronger and therefore he or his yoshim inherit it? So that explanation doesn't work. Ela Aidi Baidi Nafloch Shemedas Yavam. Rather, Rava says here's a fourth explanation. We're both talking about that the property fell to her when she's Shemedas Yavam. Reisha Deloy Ovid Bamimer, Sefer to Ovid Bamimer. Somebody brought this up yesterday about the question, I think it was Ellie, brought up the question of why aren't we considering Mimer? So now Rava says that's exactly what it is. It's a difference of whether he had done Mimer with her. In the Reisha, he had not even done Mimer. Therefore, before the Nechasim fell to her, therefore the Zika is very weak and it doesn't have any effect on the property. Whereas the Sefer, we're talking about where he had done Mimer with her, then this property fell to her, and now, therefore, there's a difference between Bishama and Bishilo. Because Sava Rava, Mimer, the Bishama, Oisa Vade, Arusa, Vesopic, Mesua. Rava holds, now we learned in the previous Perek, we learned that Shammai holds that Mimer is a strong thing. We talk about Mimer Koina over there. So Rava holds that Mimer, according to Shammai, gives her the strength of an Arusa and the suffix of whether she's Nesua, of whether she's fully married. So Vadai Arusa Lidchis Pitzara, it has the strength of a Vadai as far as her being an Arusa in the sense that, as we learned there, that her Tzara is pushed off from Yibum. Because we talk about a case where there are sisters involved over there, where one of the brothers did Mimer with her, and that brother is married to somebody else, we had the case over there to be exact, Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, Levi is not. We said Levi, Shimon's wife died and Levi did Mimer with her, then Levi himself died. So now you have the one with whom Mimer was done is Reuven's wife's sister, which would make her an erva to him. But what happens to her tzara? So Bishama had said that he stays married to his wife, and then the other one is potter because of achos isha. In other words, because Mimer, he said, is koina to that extent that it makes it that it's considered as if they were married already, and therefore the zika has that strength. Erusin is enough to create that issue of achos isha, and therefore that her tzara is potter. The suffix nesua lachlat minasachin ben minachosin. And it makes that she's a suffix as far as Nesua, in the sense that the Shammai says because of the suffix is why her father's family and her husband's family would divide the Nechassim. So in the Reisha, there was no Mimer at all, therefore we don't have any of that. In the Sefer, now the Shammai holds, like their Shitta, that Mimer has a certain strength, and therefore it makes that. So that would be the difference, says Rava. I've always had Grubb, by the way, points out over here different possibilities of what exactly we're saying would happen over here, according to the Rif and according to the Rambam. In particular, one possibility is this whole discussion is really mainly according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, we may not need these various reasons to explain according to Beis Hillel, which is going to affect who the halacha is like. So the Gemara says, "Itzma Mishmei de Rabbi Lazar Kavasei de Rava." Now they said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, like Rava's explanation of our Mishnah, that we're talking about the difference whether Mimer was done or not. The Itma Mishmei did Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, Kabbal Seid Abaya, and then Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina learned like Abaya that we're talking about the difference is whether the property came to her while she was Shemeres Yavam or while she was married to her first husband. So the Gemara asked me, Omer of Elazar,
how do you explain the Mishnah according to Beis Hillel?
So Beis Hillel, in other words, well, it's not how we would explain it according to Beis Hillel. We know there's Machlokas B'Sham of Beis Hillel. The point is, these various answers that we need to explain why it is that the Reisha and the Seifa are different, one way of looking at it is that we need that mainly according to Beis Shammai. Why is Beis Shammai saying in the Reisha that she has full rights over it, and in the Seifa was saying and the second part of the Mishnah, they're saying that she and that her husband's and father's Yoshim split it, which implies that it never really fully belonged to her in the first place. According to Beis Hillel, there may be less need for that, because according to Beis Hillel, in the Reisha, she can do whatever she wants. And in the Sefer, the only thing that goes to the husband's Yoshim is her Ksuba, which fine. She didn't have her Ksuba while she was alive yet anyway. Because the Ksuba hadn't been paid out yet. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, there's not much of a contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer. It's mainly according to Beis Shammai that there is. Okay, so let's go on. Umi Omer of Elazar Hachi. Did Rav Elazar really say that? That he learns like Rava that there's a difference whether the whether Maimer was done or not. Didn't Rav Elazar himself say in the sugya about the Shammai and Maimer that Maimer only accomplishes that it pushes away the Tzara? So he didn't say anything about Lachlat B'Nechosim. So the Gemara says one possibility is Epoch, one possibility is flip around the two opinions, say that Rabbi Lazar agrees with Abaya, and Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina agrees with Rabbah, and therefore if he agrees with Abaya, then fine, he's not dealing with whether there was Maimer or not. So he can say the difference, Abaya had said the difference between the two parts of the Mishnah is when the property came to her as a Shemeres Yavam or when she was first married. So Abaya is not making that distinction as far as Maimer, so fine, neither would Rabbi Lazar. So that's one possibility. The boyisema la'olam lo tepuch. Another possibility is you don't have to flip them around. Omalach Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar can tell you ki amri anod le'sagilav get al the boy nami chalitza. What do I mean when I say that my mother beis shama in a kona ela lidchis petzora? What I mean is that if at this point the guy wants to separate from her, wants to divorce her, it's not enough to give her a get as it would be if he had done full marriage with her, if he had done full yibum with her. Then, as we're going to say in a few, then all he would need is a get. In this case, because the Maimer does not have the strength of marriage, it only has the strength to say that the Tzara is pushed out of consideration, and therefore that he doesn't have a problem of Achos Kukosai or Achos Ishtai or whatever. So then we say that he, as far as that. But still, if he wants to divorce her, Ela the Boy Nami Chalitza, it would mean that she needs Chalitza as well. Did I ever say anything about dividing the chosim that her yavam is not koina? But no, I never said such a thing. So in other words, Rav Elazar's statement, my melabes shama ain't a koina el lichis betzara bovad, does not mean necessarily to the exclusion of what happens with the Nechassim. Rabbi Elazar is not addressing that at all, but to the exclusion of that within the halachas of marriage, that she needs chalitza, within the halachas of Yibum, that she needs chalitza as well as a get. Because he's saying that if we said Maimer Kona Kinyan Gomer according to Beis Shammai, then a get would be enough, just like a case where he did full Yibum, because Rabbi Elazar says that according to Beis Shammai, it's not Kona Kinyan Gomer, only Lidchis Betzara Bovad, only to push away the Tzara and make it that therefore that there's no problem of Achos Ishtai, that the sister is potter because of Achos Ishtai and her Tzara is potter because of that. So Beis Shammai is saying, so Rabbi Elazar would say that's what Beis Shammai is saying, but no more than that. Okay. Amar Papa, do you get the Masnissin Kavasei Da'abaya? So the Papa says, you know, when you look into the words of the Mishnah, you find it fits better according to Abaya. But I forgot the Kasha Mesa. Now it is true that you have the question as the Gemara is going to say, of why there should be a difference, of why the Mishnah is presenting the case where she's alive versus she's dead instead of presenting it a different way. But even with that question, still a certain detail of the wording of the Mishnah supports Abaye's understanding that we're talking about that she got the Nechasim while she was a Shemeras Yavam versus while she was married to her first husband. Dikatani, Nechasim anichnosim v'yotzim ima. Because the Mishnah used the expression, the Nechasim that go in and out with her. Now those are Nechasim alug. Usually the expression would be Nechasim alug. Why instead are we using this expression, Nechasim v'yotzim? My Nechasim u'my yotzim. What do we mean they go in and they go out? They go in and they go out. Lav Nechasim l'rishos ha'baal v'yotzim l'rishos ha'baal l'rishos ha'av. On the face of it, it means that they go out of the, they come into the reshus of the husband when they're married, and then after she dies, the yotzim, the reshus habal, the reshus ha'av, they go out from the reshus of the husband, to the reshus of the father when she dies. So we see, in other words, that the word nechnosim, the yotzim themselves, implies that we're talking about something that happened after she was married. She inherited this property from her father, let's say. So it came into the shrus of the husband, because like any nichsim alug, he's entitled to the payrus. And then afterwards, when she dies, then it goes out from her husband's reshus into the reshus of her father. Well, her father himself is already dead, meaning, in other words, into the reshus of her father's estate, of her father's yosh. So ba'afagav the kasha mesa. Now it is true, continues your papa, that you do have a question regarding why does the Mishnah mention the case where she died. Ad miflegi b'gufo la'acha misa litzlegu b'chayeh ola peiris. It's true that instead of arguing about the goof of the property and arguing what happens with it after she dies, they could have just as well argued about it, what happens while she's alive, what happens to the payrus, because if the idea is yoda ki yoda, then the question would be, so now, is it that she inherited this property while her husband was alive? Do we say, therefore, that he gets the payrus? Or do we say that in this case she gets the payrus? Nevertheless, despite that question, it's true the Mishnah could have presented the machlokas about one case and instead it presented a different one, but still the fact that it says nechnosim v'yotzim is very dispositive. The tuloi midi, there's nothing further to talk about after that. And therefore we can see the Mishnah supports Abaye's version of how we learn. Now, so who is the halacha like in the end? So Tosfos brings from a sefer from the Gaonim called Halachas Psukis that paskins like Abaye. Now usually the halacha is like Rava against Abaye, but first of all here we have Rav Papa pointing out that the Mishnah fits better according to Abaye. Second of all, the fact that we say that the halacha is like Abaye only in Ya'al Kagam, that's when they have a machlokas of their own. Right. Here we have Rav Papa comes in and points out something according to Abaye, so that can be a reason to override that. Same thing we said with Rish Lakish and Rav Yechon on the other day, right, where it wasn't their own machlokas, but rather right. With that said, though, now that's according to Halachas Psukas. Many of the Rishonim, though, and most of the Rishonim, maybe even, paskin not like that, and they paskin like Rava in the end. So one reason, in fact, and that goes back to that Hagoyes Hagra, is that, listen, this whole discussion over here of how to shtel ayin the Mishnah is really only necessary according to Beis Shammai. The halacha is not like Beis Shammai anyway. So therefore, the halacha can well be like Rava, that the difference is that in the end, there's no real difference whether Maimer was done or not, because only according to Beis Shammai does Maimer really make a difference. But that we would say that whether these nechasim came to her while she was a shemeres yavam, or whether they came while she was still married to her first husband, either way we would do the dispositions as this Hillel is saying in this Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, konsa harei he called her. We said once he marries her fully, once he does yibum with her, then she's like his wife l'chol davar. Then she's like his wife for all purposes except that the ksuba is against the nechasim of her first husband. So when we say she's like his wife for all purposes, regarding what halachas do we mean that? It means, and we learned this before, that he can divorce her with a get. And he can remarry her. We shouldn't think that since it was Yibum to begin with, maybe we still need Chavitza. No, once Yibum was done, then because Zika completely goes away, now she's as if she was his regular wife, and therefore she needs a get rather than Chavitza. And Umachzira, and also that he's allowed to remarry her. Because after all, you would think that she was also to him. She normally would have been also to him as his brother's wife. She's mutter only on the grounds of Yibum. So you would argue once they divorce, then you're not doing a mitzvah anymore by that. So therefore, maybe there should be a problem with them remarrying. And we're saying that no, she's ke'ishta the chodavah. So the Gemara says, "Megarisha beget pshita." Well, isn't it obvious that he gives her a get? Why would we think at that point we need chalitza? And the answer is, the Pasuk says he should take her for a wife and he should be miyabim her. So the Pasuk says, implying by putting the word v'yibma after isha, so maybe the yibum of the first one is still on her. Maybe there's still a vestige of that left. Chalitza ain't beget loy. So therefore that would mean that she needs chalitza rather than a get. Therefore, that is why the Mishnah is telling us, and Rabbi Yosef of Chanina is teaching out that that's not what it means. It means that a get is what's needed at this point, not chalitza. The fact that it says v'yidma at that point, we learned back in the first parak, we learn other dinim from it. Okay. Then we said machzira. We said he can remarry her. Again, the question is pshita. Isn't that obvious? Where she was his wife, he could remarry her. And the answer is again. You would think, after all, the mitzvah that the Torah put on him to do Yibum, he's already accomplished that. So now the issue of Eishes Och should resurface, and we should say that, therefore that she's also to him, because that original issue still exists. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that not. So the Gemara asks about both things, the Eima Hochinami, so maybe Taka Azoi. You're saying the Mishnah tells us that she doesn't need Chalitza. You're telling us the Mishnah is implying to us that she doesn't need Chalitza, only a get, and that he can remarry her because she's considered his wife. Well, maybe not. How does the Mishnah itself know that? And the answer is, Amakro, Lakocha, Loi Leisha. And the answer is, the Pasuk says he should take her as a wife, and the word Leisha is extra. Once he's lakocha, once he marries her with Yibum, then she's considered like his wife for all purposes. And therefore that means a get, and it means a get rather than a chalitza, and it means that he can remarry her. Back in the first parak, we said that the Chachamim had said that the word v'yibma means baal kocha, means that even if he does it baal kocha, then it's still effective, so yeah. Okay. We said Ravad Shteik Subasahullah. We said with the exception that her ksuba is against the nechasim of her first husband, not her second husband. So in other words, we don't have to write a new ksuba for her. So my timer, why is that? Isha hiknu loy min hashemayim. Because after all, in this case, this wife was given to him min hashemayim. So therefore, normally when a man gets married, he's meshabed, he's mortgaging his nechasim for the ksuba. But over here he didn't, because it wasn't fully his choice. She came to him in Hashemayim by his brother dying. However, so therefore there's no reason for her to have a ksuba from, him. Which means, in other words, Rashi says, therefore, so there's no lien on his property, and therefore he can sell it whenever he wants. Tosfos teaches out in a little more detail that, for example, he can sell his property even if afterwards the fields of the dead brother get damaged. Nevertheless, she wouldn't have the recourse of going and taking from the Shabbatim because at the time the properties existed from her first husband, and therefore the fact that they're damaged now and they're considered as though they no longer exist, that's neither here nor there. Had she been his full wife, then she would be able to be told. Okay. However, the Gemara says, V'i less lominarishin. Now, if she doesn't have a ksuba from the first husband, meaning Rashi says he doesn't have any nechosim to pay it off, takinu lomisheni, then the chachamim made a takana that she should get from the second, today shall I take kalaba ena voitzia, so that she's not so easy for him to divorce. After all, one of the reasons behind the ksuba is that the husband shouldn't be so easy, shouldn't find it so easy to divorce his wife, so we still want that. So in a normal case, we say that's not necessary. The ksuba will be the brother who did yibum will be inheriting her husband's property, including the property that was mortgaged to the ksuba, and therefore eventually she'll collect from that. But if there weren't any for him, to make up the value of the ksuba, then he does need to write her a new ksuba. If Reuven didn't have enough property to satisfy her ksuba, so then the dead one. Yeah, that's always how we're saying. Okay. The Mishnah says, mitzvah begadol liyabim. The mitzvah is that the eldest brother should be the one to do yibum. We learned this before, that when the pasuk says v'hoya habachur, we take the words v'hoya habachur out of their context and say that it means that the eldest brother should be the one to do yibum. Loy rotza, if he doesn't want to, and we'll see in the Gemara what he doesn't want to do exactly. Mahalchen al kolachin, we go around among all the other brothers. Now we learned previously on Daf Chaf Dalet, we said that we go in age order. That was actually according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara over there. That it means that we go down them in age order. The Rambam learned differently. The Rambam had a Tosfos point out over there that there's a different girsa, and so they and the Rambam learned that it's not necessarily after that in age order. Once the eldest brother doesn't want to, then all the other brothers have an equal shot at it. Loy rotsu, if none of them want to, and again we'll see in the Gemara what none of them wanted to do, chozrin etzav gadol, we return back to the older one, but oimim loy, and we tell him, listen, alacha mitzvah, the mitzvah is on you, oi chaloitz or yabim, either do chalitza or do yibum. Tala b'katan, ad sheyagdil, suppose that he says that, listen, there's one of the younger brothers who's not even yet by mitzvah, like, I don't want to do yibum. You went to all the brothers above by mitzvah, but you didn't yet check with him. So wait and see what he wants to do. Wait till he gets older and can do chalitza or yibum and then check with him. Or if the eldest brother was in Medina Sayam, if the eldest brother was overseas, and the other brothers are saying that, so now the next older brother is here. So let's say, for example, we have like this. So the brothers are Reuben, Shimon, Levi, etc. Reuben, let's say, was the one who died. As we always have in these cases, Reuben is the one who dies. Poor Reuben. So now the next older brother is Shimon. We're saying the mitzvah is on him. So now what happens is, let's say Shimon is overseas currently. So now the next older brother is Levi. So now he's considered the Gadol HaAchim for this purpose. So he says, you know what? Listen, I'm not the eldest brother who's still alive. Shimon is. Wait till he comes back from Medina Sayam. So Ad Sheyavim Medina Sayam. So we're going to say in the Mishnah, we don't listen to him. We tell him that you need to do it now. As the Gemara is going to say, we don't delay the mitzvah. A different way of learning it is that the word gadol over here doesn't mean the eldest brother, but rather it means a brother who's over by mitzvah of whichever age order he is among the brothers, but he's right now in Medina Sayam. So the older brother, for example, says, so in our scenario, let's say Shimon says, you know what, I don't feel like doing it, but you asked all the other brothers, but you didn't ask Levi because he's overseas. Wait till Levi gets back and then you can ask him and see what he wants to do. So right. Or if the brother says, you know what, I don't want to do it. You're saying none of us want to do it, but we have a brother who's a cheresh or a brother who's a shreita. Let him go ahead and do it. We don't listen to him. We don't listen to him. We tell him, alecha mitzvah. Look, the mitzvah is on you. Either you do chalitza or you do yibum. So according to Rashi, the explanation that we're talking about, in other words, that we tell Levi, listen, it's true you're not the oldest, Shimon is, but since Shimon is away in the Dinas Yam, then therefore it falls on you, you gotta do it. According to the Rambam, it would be the other way around. that we'd be saying that Shimon is saying, I know you already asked Yehuda and Yisachar and so forth, and they don't want to. I don't want to either. Let's wait till Levi comes, and you can ask him. We say, no, you, Shimon, have the mitzvah on you. We're not waiting around for Levi.
If none of the brothers are old enough, then they have to wait.
If none of the brothers are by mitzvah yet, then they all have to wait. Tosfos points out over here, this is an example of, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that if the Yavam is, we had the example over there where the Yavam was a Mukkah Shchin, for example, where he's covered with boiled, and therefore she doesn't want to marry such a person, so then Ein Chos Minoisa, we don't muzzle her, we don't tell her, tough luck, you gotta do it anyway. So by the same token over here, with the Cheresh and the Shoita, we say the same thing. We don't say, for example, that he says, wait till they heal, meaning, in other words, that even if he's saying, listen, you know, they're only temporarily deaf, we know he's going to be better again in a week. Nevertheless, we still don't say that. Okay. So the Gemara says, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim that's going to relate back to our Mishnah. Bias Katan b'chalitzas gadol. What if we have the eldest brother wants to do chalitza and one of the younger brothers wants to do yibum? So Rashi explains that we don't mean over here a katan as in below bar mitzvah, he can't do chalitza or yibum. We mean katan as in the younger brother. So what if one of the younger brothers wants to do yibum with her, and the older brother wants to do chalitza? So pligiba Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yishuv and Levi. And so Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yishuv and Levi argue what the din would be. Chad ama bias katan adifa. One says that the bia of the younger one is more important because mitzvahs yibum kaidemes. So therefore, even though he's younger and it's not really his turn, nevertheless, since he wants to do bia, then he can go ahead and do it. B'chad ama chalitzas gado adifa. The other one says no, the chalitza of the older one is preferable. So the Gemara says, mando ama bias katan adifa da mitzvah b'yibum, because after all, the mitzvah is to do yibum and he wants to do that mitzvah. The one who says that the chalitza of the older one is the more important, he says, "V'makim gadol b'yas katan lav klumi," because when the gadol is there, the mitzvah is on him. After all, therefore, the bia of the katan is nothing—not nothing in the sense it has no effect. If he went ahead and did the bia, certainly he would be kind to her. But we're talking about that it's not the right thing for him to do. So the Gemara says, "Tanan." Well, let's look at our Mishnah and see which opinion it fits better. The Mishnah had said, "Loy rotza." We said that the older brother didn't want to do yibum, and we said, "Mahalchin akol achin." We go around to older brothers. So machzirin akol achin. My love, loy rotza liyabim alalachlitz. On the face of it, loy rotza means he didn't want to do yibum, but he was willing to do chalitza. The katani mahalchin etzal achin, and we're saying that we go and ask older brothers. Shemamina bias katan adifa. Showing, in other words, we're trying to find, is there one of the younger brothers who is willing to do yibum? And that would be not like the opinion that says that chalitza's gadol is better. And the answer is loy. That's not what it means. Loy rotza lachlitz v'loy liyabim. It means he didn't want to do either. He wants to wash his hands of the whole thing. So we go to all the other brothers to see if one of them is willing to do chalitza or yibum. So the Gemara says, "Jekavastar gabe achen loyrotzu loylachlitz loyliyabim." Well then, the parallel then, the Mishnah continues that if none of the other brothers wanted to either, so we're saying, so if we understand that in the Reisha, the older brother doesn't want to do, means he doesn't want to do either chalitza or yibum, then the continuation of the Mishnah also has to mean that the other brothers don't want to do either. So why do we return back to the older one? And the answer is l'michbiye. We're going to force him to do one or the other. So why should we do that? Let's force one of them. If all of them are saying they don't want to do chalitza or yibum, why are we going and davka harassing the oldest brother? And the answer is no, kibin the mitzvah, lady de ramya, because after all, the mitzvah is primarily on him, therefore the day kaipinan. So he would be the one that we force to do one or the other. And by the way, we talked about before, and we'll talk about in greater detail, Bez Hashem, later in the Masechta, when we get to the perek about chalitza, that whether you can actually force him to do chalitza is really not so simple, and the minhag is, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we don't force him, however we do, for example, try to mislead him. Let's say, for example, by telling him that we'll give you 200 zuz if you do chalitza, and then he does chalitza and we don't give him the 200 zuz, or sort of things like that. So the Gemara says, Tanan, well, let's look at our Mishnah again. It's a tol of a katan ad sheyagdil, that if he was saying, wait for the katan, we have a younger brother who's below bar mitzvah, or really technically we shouldn't be talking about bar mitzvah, we should be talking about shtei sairas. When you're talking about something daraisa like this, just the fact that he's 13 is not enough. He needs to actually have shtei sairas. Anyway, So he says, wait till he's Yagdil, Ein Shemin Lai. We say we don't listen to him. Now, the Bias Kot Nadipa. Now, if the younger brother's Bia, once he becomes Bar Mitzvah, is the stronger thing. Am I Ein Shemin Lai? Why would we say we don't listen to the older brother when we tell him you have to do something now? Nintar, let him tack away. Dilma Godul Miyabim. Maybe he'll grow up and he'll be willing to do Yibum. If you're saying that Yibum is better than Chalitza, then why shouldn't we do that? We should have. Right now, we have the older brother who doesn't want to do either one. The other brothers don't want to do either one either. Or let's say, for example, one of the brothers is willing to do Chalitza, but they have a younger brother who may potentially want to do Yibum. Why don't we wait and see what he says? And the answer is, V'litai Meich, nu, according to your Svara that you're asking the question, when the Mishnah had said, when it said that if we're waiting for the elder brother to get back from Medina Sayyam in Shemin Loi, so we said we don't listen to that, we say you gotta go ahead with it right away. Amai, you could ask the same question. Ninto Duma Osi Vacholit. Or Miyabim, really, it says on the side. You should wait because he might want to do Yibum. Everybody agrees that Yibum by the older brother is better. The Machlokes is only whether Yibum by a younger brother or Chalitza by the older brother, which one is better. So let's say in the case of our Mishnah, where the Gadol, where the oldest living brother was in Medina Sayyam, why indeed shouldn't we wait? After all, he might want to do Yibum. Ela kol shahuya mitzvah loy mishayinan. Obviously, the answer is that we don't want to delay the mitzvah any longer than necessary. So therefore, so that could explain the answer with the cotton as well. Maybe indeed Yibum of a younger brother is preferable to Chalitza with an older brother, but that would involve waiting, and we don't want to have to delay the mitzvah any more than necessary, so therefore we tell the older brother, no, oy Chalitza Yabim, if it means that you're going to be doing Chalitza and nobody's going to be doing Yibum, okay, so be it, but at least the mitzvah will get done as soon as possible. The Gemara continues, Istami, now there's another version of the Machalitza. When it comes to Bia, when it comes to doing Yibum, everybody agrees that that's better. The Machlokas, rather, would be as far as the Chalitza of the younger brother. So then the discussion would go like this. Chalitza's cotton, Chalitza's godol. Suppose you have an older brother wants to do Chalitza and a younger brother wants to do Chalitza. Which one is better? Which one should be done? Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shurban Levi. So now, according to the second version, again, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shurban Levi are arguing on that. Chadam Chalitza is Godol Adifa, but Chadam Akiyadadi Ninu. One says it's still better for the older ones to do Chalitza, and the other one says they're all on an equal level. Whichever one does Chalitza is fine. Again, if one of them actually went and did Chalitza, there's no question that it's kosher, but the question is which one will based in call in and ask to do Chalitza. According to one opinion, they should call in the eldest brother, and according to the other one, they can call in whichever one they want. The situation is that you have a bunch of brothers where, let's say, Yibum is not going to be done. The question is only according to the second Lashon, if one of them wants to do Yibum, even though he's the younger brother, there's no question that we say yes. Let him go ahead and do it. The Machlokas is, if various brothers want to do Yibum, want to do Chalitza, which one takes precedence? Yeah. So, Mando, Amma Chalitza's Gadol Adifa, the one who says that the Chalitza of the older one is better, he says, Dom Mitzvah Begadol, because after all, the Mitzvah is on the older one. The Idach, where the other opinion would answer, Ki Yamin and Mitzvah Begadol in Yibum. Yeah, but that only applies to Yibum, because the Pasuk, Vahoya Bechur, is talking about Yibum. Avala in Chalitza, Kadadi in Yibum. When it comes to Chalitza, they're on an equal level. So again, the Gemara goes through, let's go through the parts of our Mishnah and see, according to the second version, which one it fits better with. First, the Mishnah had said, Tznan lo rotsu chozu in etzav gadol. We said if none of the brothers want to do it, then we return back to the original one. Now, my lav lo rotsu the yavim alalachlis. On the face of it, lo rotsu means they didn't want to do yivim, but they were willing to do chavitza. The Bashtus, we could understand, there's a reason why here, and also in the first Lashon, why we'd assume that Loi Rotsu means that. She could be ugly, let's say, she could be a machshefa, whatever it is, you know, they may not want to be married to her, but fine, to do Chalitza, to go to Beis Din and do Chalitza, that they might not have a problem with. Just put on the ground in front of them, they can live with that. So therefore, so the assumption, so the initial assumption is always going to be that they wouldn't mind doing chalitza, even if they would mind doing yibum. So it sounds like loy rotsu means they're willing to do chalitza, they're just not willing to do yibum. Because Tani Chosmin as a brother. Still, the Mishnah says we return back to the eldest brother. Ushmamina chalitza's God Adipa. Wouldn't that mean that chalitza by the oldest brother is preferable? Like the first opinion, not like the second. The answer is loy, not necessarily. Loy rotsu means they don't want to deal with the matter at all. Loy lachlitz v'loy yabim. They don't want to do chalitza and they don't want to do yibum. So then we go back to the eldest brother. Well, the Gemara says again, the kavasei gabi gadol. Well, then the parallel case in the beginning of the Mishnah when it said that the gadol loy rotsu, so it said he didn't want, would also mean loy lachlitz v'loy yabim, means he didn't want to do chalitza or he didn't want to do yibum. Well then, ela amai chozun etzel gadol. So why do we return to him anyway if he doesn't want to? And again, the answer is like before, the michbiye, we're going to force him. And the question is, lichbiyehu lididu. Well, why don't we just as well force them? If we're saying that any of them can do chalitza, or any of them can do yibum, why are we davka harassing him? And the answer is again, kibin the mitzvah, lididay ramiya, lididay kaifinan. Since primarily the mitzvah is on him to do yibum, then he's the one that we force to deal with this. But it's true that if he was saying, I'm willing to do chalitza, or if any of the brothers are willing to say that, so again, we have two opinions. If we have one of the other brothers is saying, I'm willing to do chalitza, do we accept that? Or do we say we still want the older brother to do chalitza, and only if one of the other brothers jumps in and does it, then already it'll be valid. But according to the solution, again, according to the second solution, again, we're saying that if one of them is willing to do yibum, then he takes precedence over all the other ones. Okay, Toshma, again, let's try to prove from the continuation of our Mishnah. We said, Tolob Gadol Ad Sheyavim Medinas Yam. We said if he's saying, well, wait until an older brother comes back from Medinas Yam. So we said, Ein Shreimim Loi, we don't listen to him. Now, if you're telling me that Chalitza by an older brother is preferable, Amai Ein Shreimim Loi, why indeed wouldn't we listen to him? Nintai, why don't we wait? Yom Osi V'Cholitz. Maybe he'll come and do chalitza. After all, you're saying that chalitza by him is the best kind of chalitza. So wouldn't that show that all of them are on an equal level, and therefore there's nothing to be gained by waiting for the brother from Medinas Yam, because any of the other brothers who are here could do it just as well? So again, the Gemara asks, V'litai Meir, according to your svara that you're even asking the question, think of when it says, V'kotna tshiyagdol en shemin loy, when the Mishnah had said that if he says, wait for this child until he grows up, we also say we don't listen to him. Amai, now why shouldn't we do that? Nita Joma Godolo Miyabim. After all, when he gets older, he might do Yibum. Inami Osiyu Miyabim. Or the brother who himself was in the Den Siyam might come and do Yibum with her. And the fact is, we don't say that. The fact is, we don't say we wait for the brother from the Den Siyam. We don't wait for the brother to grow up. Ela Kosho Huya Mitzvah, Loi Shahinan. Obviously, the answer is, like we said before, we don't ever delay a mitzvah. So therefore, if we have a choice of having the mitzvah done now versus later, then we're going to say, so even if we say that mitzvah, even if we say that the, when it comes to chalitza, the chalitza of the gadol is preferable, but since the gadol is out of town now, then we ignore that and we say whichever one can do chalitza will do chalitza. That doesn't necessarily show that in a normal case where all of them were here, that doesn't necessarily show that we would say that that any one of them has equal rights there. We might still say that the gadol should do it if at all possible. Only because either way, are we saying never mind that because they're not delaying the mitzvah override that. An interesting side thing, by the way, in this is that, so we're saying, in effect, that we want to do the mitzvah right away, even though if we do it later on, it could be done with greater hiddur. We're saying, according to this, there's the possibility that the older brother, it's more of a hiddur for him to do chalitza. That bears on the question, and the Terumas Hadeshen brings this up in a completely different connection as far as Kiddush Levana. So Kiddush Levana, we know we try to do it on Motzei Shabbos, because then we're dressed in Shabbos clothes. But what happens if you weren't able to do it the previous Motzei Shabbos? Now it's the middle of the week. You do it now. On the other hand, maybe you should wait till Motzei Shabbos when you're dressed in nicer Shabbos clothes. So that we say that when possible, you should indeed wait till Motzei Shabbos. Only if you have reason to be concerned that it's going to be cloudy, then you don't. So how does that fit with what we're saying over here? So the Terumas Hadeshen discusses, and various Achronim after him discuss, The difference is over here that the mitzvah may never happen if they don't do it now, because after all, she might die, the other brothers might die, etc. Something else might go wrong, and therefore the mitzvah is never going to get accomplished. Whereas by Kiddush Levana, the moon is still going to be there, so therefore we have more reason to say that we should wait and be able to do the mitzvah with greater hiccup. If it's a place where there's a lot of clouds, then that's so different. The right, then it would be the same thing. Then yes. Okay. The Gemara says Tanan Hafsam. Now we learn in a Mishnah in Bechoris, mitzvah yibum kaidemes the mitzvah chalitza. The mitzvah of yibum takes precedence over the mitzvah of chalitza. Barishona, and that was only originally trei miskavnei l'shem mitzvah, where people when they did yibum had in mind that they're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. But nowadays, they don't have in mind that they're doing it l'shem mitzvah. They're just doing it because they like her looks or her personality or whatever. Omru, mitzvahs chalitza kedemes, the mitzvahs yibum. So the Chum said the mitzvah of chalitza comes first. What we're going to discuss later on, that actually is machlokes. We're going to discuss later on, is machlokes Abba Shaul and the Chum about it.
What if I got married?
If you get married to a regular woman because you like her looks, fine. It's not the best basis for marriage, but fine. The difference is, when you're getting married to a regular woman, there's no issur that's being overridden to do it. Here, remember, there is an issur of Eishes Ach. So therefore, you need to be L'shem Shemayim.
You know, I was
going to
ask you that question at the beginning
of
this year.
Okay. So the Gemara says, very good. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav ain koifin. Now, Rav says that we don't force him. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi learns that if brothers want to do yibum, then if there are if both the yavam and the yavama are willing to do yibum, then even if we don't know that l'shem shemayim, we don't force them to do chalitza. We don't say, listen, given that they're not mechaven, that we don't know if they're mechaven l'shem shemayim, then we should force them to do chalitza. Rav says we don't do that. So now Rashi brings over here at some length that if he wants to do yibum and she says she doesn't want, then we see what we can do. We see if we can mislead him into doing chalitza. Like we said, we offer him 200 zuz and then we don't pay it to him after the chalitza, and that way we free her. If not, then Rashi says we actually force him to do chalitza, because we can't require her, we can't force her to do yibum with somebody that she doesn't want to do yibum with. Rashi mentioned that. Now the Gemara, we're going to discuss this actually later on. Again, we're going to revisit this point about when she's considered a meredes and when not. We're going to revisit it later on in the sixth parak on Daf Samach Daled. And Tosfos also discusses it at some length over here. Lamaisa, as we said, we don't ever force her to do yibum. There is a case which we'll discuss later on in the Masechta where she says, you know what, forget yibum, forget chalitza, I'm willing to just stay an aguna. There we force her to receive chalitza. Because after all, it does impinge on her yavam. He can't get married until he deals with her. Nowadays with Chayim Diyar Ben Gershom, for sure he can't, but even before Chayim Diyar Ben Gershom, practically speaking, who's going to want to marry him knowing that potentially he may end up marrying this yavama? So that he has a zikr with her. Okay. So Rav is saying ain koifin, which means that we don't force them to do chalitza, even though we're saying nowadays people don't have kavanah l'shem shemayim. Nevertheless, if both the yavam and the yavama want to do yavam, then Rav says they can go ahead. So the Gemara says, ki also the kamei de Rav, when a yavam and yavama would come in front of Rav, he would tell them, eat boys chalitza, eat boys yavim. If you want to do chalitza, go ahead. If you want to do yavam, go ahead. V'didoch tol rachmana. After all, the pasuk makes it dependent on you. V'im lo yachvetz ish. The pasuk says, if the man doesn't want, ha'im chopetz, iboy cholitz, iboy yabim. Implying that if he wants to, then he can do either one. And the Gemara says, v'af Rav Yehuda sova ein koifin. Rav Yehuda also holds that we don't force them to do chalitza. We can allow them to do yibum if they want. And we see this, mida afkin, Rav Yehuda begita de chalitza. Because we see from the following lashon that Rav Yehuda set up in the get chalitza. Now the get chalitza is not really a get. It's really more an official document from Beis Din certifying that she got chalitza. It's one of these things called Maisa Beis Din. You have certain documents that the Torah requires you to write, for example, a get, and then you have ones where just whenever Beis Din is in session and they accomplish something, then you need to write a memo of what Beis Din accomplished. This get chalitza is basically like that. It's like a transcript of what happened in Beis Din.
It's there's other guests that are not good.
There's other guests that are also similar to that, right? So this is an example of that. We're going to learn later on in the set about miyun. There's also such a thing as a get miyun. Same idea. It's just a maisa based in. It's just a memo from based in. It's a transcript of what based in did, which they give to her as a raya that she, in this case, that she did chavitza, and in that case, that she didn't. So Rav Yehuda's loshen went like this. Eich ploinis bats ploini, akravas is ploini yivama kadmona lebedina. We're recording how ploinis, the daughter of ploini, brought ploini hu yavam before us to the Beis Din. The ish demoid inhu, and we recognized him, the achur de misna me'abaninu, that he is the brother of her, that he is the brother of, that he is the brother from the father's side of the dead brother, her husband. So we said to him, if you want to do Yibum, Yabim, then you can do Yibum. So we see from this Lashon that it's clear that it's up to him. If you want to do Yibum, he can. The Eloi, and if not, if you don't want to do Yibum, then stick out your right foot to her. And sure enough, the transcript continues. The Itlala Ragla Diyamina, he stuck out his right foot towards her. She took off the shoe, she untied the shoe from his foot. The Yarkasban Poi, she spit in his presence, Ruka de Mischadia Lebedina al Ara, spittle that could be seen by the basin on the floor. Tosfos is technically you don't really need it to land on the floor, so maybe we don't need the word al Ara, but anyway. Therefore the chalitza was accomplished, and we certify it. So we see from the Lashon that he uses that we tell him, if you want to do Yibum, go ahead and do Yibum. That implies that it's his choice whether to do Yibum or not. And we're saying her choice as well, because if she doesn't want to, then we don't force her into a Yibum. And Rav Chiya bar Ivya Messiah b'mishmei de Rav Yehuda. Rav Chiya bar Ivya continued in the name of Rav Yehuda, quoting more of the Lashon of this Get Chalitza. That we had them read the psukim that it says in the sefer of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, the psukim that it says over there where he says loy chafati lakachta and she says kocha yosol ish, etc. So again, and then later on in the Masechta, in the Perek, when we deal with the dinim of Chalitza, the 12th Perek, then we're going to deal in detail with all these halachas. Since we're mentioning Ishtamoy De'inu, we said that we recognize that this Yavam is her late husband's brother. So Pligibur of Acha Rabina. So Rav Acha and Rabina argue, what kind of evidence do we need for that? Chad Om of Eidim. One says we need actual Eidim. So two Eidim have to be brought, that this guy that she brought to Beis Din is in fact the brother of her dead husband. V'chad Om Afilu Korev Afilu Isha. The other one says that even she could bring a relative, she could bring even a woman, even though relatives and women are usually possible to testify, but here, you can do that. The Hilchasa and Halacha, that's how it is. Giluya Milsaba Almahu, it's not really Eidos, it's just telling us the facts. And therefore, Afilu Korev, Afilu Isha, so it's good enough even a Korev or an Isha, they can come and say that this guy is her husband's brother, and that's good enough for us to go ahead with the chalitza. We're not concerned, in other words, that she's just going to bring a random guy off the street to play the part of her husband's brother and do chalitza, and then she'll go and be married. So yeah, okay. Now we said before, but it's shown to show you miskan and l'shem mitzvah. We said originally when people had in mind that they were doing yibum for the sake of the mitzvah, then mitzvah yibum kedemas the mitzvah chalitza, then the mitzvah of yibum comes first. Va'achshav she'in miskan and l'shem mitzvah. Nowadays, when they don't have kavana for the mitzvah, omru mitzvah chalitza kedemas the mitzvah yibum. Then they say that chalitza comes before yibum. So now the Gemara continues. Omar Rami b'chama Omar Abitzchok. The Chachamim changed their mind and said that after all, even nowadays, Yibum comes before Chalitza. Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, how could that be? Achshu Dori? Have the generations become better? We always say, Yuridus Adoris. This is, by the way, you have the famous expression that's brought in many places and in Torah literature and Shilas Truvas and in other places, this expression, Achshu Dori, are we better off than our ancestors? It comes from this Gemara. So,
oh, wow.
So if you're telling me that there was a period when, in the times of the Tanoim, because that statement, Ba'achshav She'en Meskavnin, is in a Mishnah. So you're telling me that since the times of the Mishnah, now we're in the middle of the times of the Amiroyim, Rav Nachman Mitzvah says, and you're telling me that we've gotten better and we're back to doing it L'Shem Mitzvah, how is that possible? And the answer is no. It's not that the generations have gotten better, but Me'ikra Sabri Laka Abashol, or L'Soif Sabri Laka Rabbanam. What it was is originally the Chachamim held like Abashol, and later on they figured that the Halacha should rather be like the Chachamim. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a Braisa, Abashol Omer, Hakoynes is Yivimte the Shem Noi. If a man marries his Yivama because she's beautiful, or Lashum Ishus, or just because he wants to be married, let's say he's never been married before, and he figures, look, now a wife fell into my lap, let me go ahead with it. Or because of any other reason, because she has money or whatever it is, it's as if he's encountering an erva, because after all, in principle, she is an erva to him, she's his brother's wife. Only when it's l'shem mitzvah, says Abashol, should it be allowed. The korev aniza ena liyasavlad mamzer. I consider it that the child that they would have is practically, if it's not l'shem shemayim, it's practically a mamzer. Fine, Abishol is saying la'alocha, maybe he's not, but as far as, for example, the midas that a child has, that a mamzer usually has, such a child is likely to have them. If his parents did give him shalom l'shem shemayim.
That means that not only just but every minute of their marriage.
So it would mean every minute of their marriage, Abishol is saying there's a problem, yeah. V'chum, I mean, the chum say no. Yivama yavay aleil mikamakim. No, the pasuk says yivama yavay aleil. That means regardless of any intention. So in other words, Abashol is so Abashol is explaining. In other words, well, so the Gemara says man tana lahar the tana rabbanon. Well, then which tana is it that taught the following braisa? When it says yivama yavay aleil, when it says yavam should have relations with her, means mitzvah. Means that it's a mitzvah for him to do that. Shebetchila hoisa ala b'chal hanter. Originally, before she married his brother, she would have been mutter to him. And Nesra, then she became osu when she married his brother. B'chazir b'hutra, now she became mutter again. Yochol tachso le'atera harishen. You would think that she goes back completely to her original heter, meaning that's the question. What do we mean by that? Tamad lemi yivama yavay aleha mitzvah. So therefore, the pasuk says yivama yavay aleha, implying that it's a mitzvah. So Mantana, so which Tana taught this Braisa? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Abashol. That would be according to Abashol. What the Braisa means, what Abashol means is, Yavama Yavay Alei Mitzvah, means that it's a mitzvah for him to do Yivum. Shebetchila Hoysa Ola B'chal Hetzer. Originally, she was completely mutter to him in the sense, Rotsa L'Shem Noi Kainza, Rotsa L'Shem Ishus Kainza. He could marry her for whatever reason he wanted, like you asked him before. If he wants to marry her because she's beautiful, fine, he's allowed to. It may not be the best basis to base a marriage on, look at the Avash of Badaba, but it's still a kosher marriage. And the same thing, if it's Lashum issues, just because he wants to be married, and then he'll take whoever's available. Then also fine. Nesra, but then she became Osir because she's his brother's wife. Chazir v'hutra, now she became Mutter in Yibum. Yachol tachso le'atera harishin. So you would think Abashol is saying that she goes back completely to her first heter, meaning that he could marry her for whatever reasons he wants. No, Tamad Laima, Yavama Yavay Aleil, the mitzvah. Therefore, no, Yavama Yavay Aleil means only if he has in mind for the mitzvah of Yibum. Otherwise, Abashol is saying nothing to him. So this,
he
has to have in mind that he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah of Yibum. For the sake of his brother's name, but yeah. So on the other hand, so that's one way of learning the Braisa. Rabba Omar, Rabba learns the Braisa differently. Afilo Temer Rabbanon, you could even say that this Braisa goes according to the Chachamim. It doesn't mean that he has to do it with Shem Mitzvah. Any reason that he does the Yibum is equally valid. What it means is, V'hochkamar, Yibrama Yavay Aleil Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah for him to do Yibum, Shebetchila Hoysa V'chalal Heter, to begin with there was a Heter in the sense, Rotza Kainza, Rotza Eina Kainza, it was up to him whether he marries her or not. Nesra, then she became Osir. Chazir v'Hutra, now she's Mutter again. Yochol Tachsala, Teira Arishin, you would think she goes back to her original Heter in the sense that Rotza Koinza, Rotza Eina Koinza, that if he wants to marry her, he could marry her, and if not, then not. And the Gemara interjects, what do you mean, Rotza Eina Koinza? Ha'agida, babe. After all, she's tied to him. There is a Zika. B'chdi Tzipuk. Are you saying that she can go free with nothing, neither Yibum or Chalitza? So obviously not. Ella, you're right. Emad rotza koinza rotza choylefa. The Chacham was saying you would think that now he has an equal right to do Yibum or Chalitza. just like beforehand he had an equal right to marry her or not to marry her. No, the ideal mitzvah is for him to do the Yibum. So the Chachamim, so this guy, so what he's following, the Chachamim, that Yibum is more preferable than Chalitza. Now the Gemara, we'll continue over Yom Tov, Bez Hashem. The Gemara is going to digress to a different topic because, which actually has to do with Pesach, has to do with eating matzah, but it's part of the same Braisa. But anyway, who is the halacha like in the end between Abashol and the Chachamim? It winds up being a machlokas aposkim. It winds up being a machlokas harishonim. In the end, who is the halacha like, Abashol or the Chachamim? By and large, the Sfardish aposkim, including the Rambam and the Beis Yosef, paskin like the Chachamim, that Yibum is preferable to Chalitza, whereas the Ramah and other Ashkenazic poskim paskin by and large like Abashol. So therefore, that is why Ada Yemazeh, you have Ashkenazim don't do Yibum, or do it only in very rare cases. We're going to learn in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza that there's the very rare case where Chalitza can't be done, for example, because the guy's feet are misshapen. So then there's no choice but to do Yibum, otherwise she's going to be stuck forever. But ordinarily, ordinarily Ashkenazim don't do Yibum, whereas Sfardim, following the Rambam and following the Mechaber, will occasionally do. I don't know how common it is, but they do Yibum. Their Rabbanim are more ready to allow for Yibum to be done. Like we said in the Gemara over here, that Rav was saying, it's up to you. Because they hold, like the Chachamim against Abashol, that it doesn't matter what their motivations are, the mitzvah is the mitzvah either way. Okay.